pray for Brother Wade and the message he's going to bring. God, I pray you speak through him, God. And I pray, thank you for this school year that's wrapping up, God, and those who are getting done. I pray for summer and safety during this time. I thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Working all things out. lowest valley, yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy, and my heart is heavy, Almighty. Oh, yes, I will. Oh, yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. For joy when my heart is heavy, Almighty. Oh, yes, I will for all my days. Oh, yes, I will for all my days. Yes, I
Amen. You may be seated. As our men are coming forward to take the offering, I'd like to welcome you if you're visiting us. It's a beautiful day to be at Osage, and we've got a brand new pastor and his family, and we're excited about the future here. And so if you'll see that, if you'll notice the blue card in the pew in front of you, that's there for you to fill out and to give us more information about yourself, especially a box there to check if you want us to visit you. If you put that in the plate as it comes by, we'd be happy to get to know you better. One of our men will come down and lead us in prayer.
You can bow with you, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and we just want to thank you for this beautiful day. And just pray that you be with Brother Wade as he brings a message this morning. He would reach our hearts, and we would apply it to our lives. And just pray that you bless this offering, and as we take it, that we could use it to further your kingdom, dear God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Was that very good morning back towards us, Matt? I feel like this side did really well, and this side was kind of weak. So, good morning, everybody. All right. Just because you guys run off half your folks over here, you're going to have to make up with it with volume, you see. So, I don't know if you guys noticed, but this side's a lot heavier today. So, I don't know what's going on over here, but do what? I was gonna suggest dial, but I do know there's some folks. David Ray let me know yesterday that they're missing today, and they're gonna also be missing next week. And I mentioned that because they're going to see one grandkid get baptized today, and then they're going next week to celebrate another grandkid getting baptized next week. So that is something that we'll be happy for them, and we'll celebrate with them from afar. So, I decided tomorrow I'm just going to take the whole day off. The boys and I have appointments to get glasses, so we're going to get our glasses in the morning, and then after that, we'll see. So, Max and I went down to the executive board meeting. That makes it sound more important. So we went down to the executive board meeting this week with NABA, and Max took a lot of really good notes. He was sitting there taking a lot of really good notes, and I didn't take any other than one. And so Max has some really good stuff. At some point, ask him, he'll share it. But I think the gist of it was we've been doing a lot of good stuff. The association is growing. We've got a connection or a link or a cooperation, whatever word you want to fill in there, with Winnipeg up in Canada. And they've got an association up there, and that has now been adopted by the state association coming in of what North Arkansas Baptist Association started. And that is just growing, and they went from like 7 churches to 20-some churches up there. So great work going on up there in Canada that started with that affiliation or whatever other word we want to slide in there that means about the same thing. With North Arkansas Baptist Association, we got to hear of a lot of the groups like the Telestai House and FIT and the Woodshed and DOF, a lot of ministries that are going on that are being supported, and some that I think that we support directly, and then some things that are being supported indirectly. One of those ministries I know we've supported directly spoke, and it's from the Informed Choices. And I don't know if you guys know what Informed Choices is, but just giving a brief summary, if a lady finds herself pregnant, and that's all that can get pregnant is ladies, amen, and if she finds herself pregnant and she's concerned or in a whatever, she can go down there and they talk about choices, and they hope steer her for other choices other than aborting the baby. And that's a ministry that's there in Harrison, and they can do ultrasounds and stuff. And I do have a letter from them that says, Informed Choices is so blessed by your generosity with our baby bottles, with our baby bottles for life. We cannot express how grateful we are for your support and love for those experiencing a crisis pregnancy. Your donation, and they give the amount there, will not only provide amazing baby resources for overwhelmed mamas and dads, but it will also shine a God spotlight on how God cares for them through His church. God provides for them, and God sees and knows their cares and fears. Your giving makes a difference. Thank you for standing for life with us. Your love of our love for our ministry means so much to us. Our prayer is that Informed Choices legacy will be saved lives, restored hope for pregnant mamas, and strengthen families for generations. Never forget, you are a part of this. So, and then signed Rhonda Graham there, who's over that ministry. So that's another part there, and I had that thank you letter today, so I wanted to share it. Before I get into the message, the only other thing that I want to mention at this time anyway from the meeting down there is Rhonda had mentioned while she was up there giving the presentation that there is a lot of petitions going around right now. One of them sounds good to a lot of us. That's called like Arkansasers for Limited Government or similar titles. And what that's to get on the ballot some things. One of the things that supports is abortion all the way up to the time of birth. So if you have a petition to get something on the ballot, there's nothing that I'm aware of or that was mentioned that we as Christians would support. So the decline to sign, so you can remember not to sign it, handy rhyme, right? Just don't sign a petition and you won't be supporting something that that I don't believe that we would want to support as believers. So it has, that particular one has abortion and some drug use and some other things on it. So anyway, then that's it, you know, to keep it off the ballot. So All right. Well, there's my public service announcement and bringing us up to speed. Amen. So I'll shift gears here and I'll give you my introductory. How's that? So, all right. So, you know, there was a little town and everyone was running to the church. And even the town atheist was sprinting to the church. And one of the guys looked to him and said, I don't believe you've ever ran to church before. And he looked back at him and said, well, I don't believe the church has ever been on fire before. You know, I think I got a picture there, DJ. You know, of the church being on fire, you know, that's the way we're talking. But that's not really, when we say the church is on fire, that is not what we want. Amen? You know, that's not the way. But the excitement of something like a church being on fire brings people, right? It gets people that maybe wouldn't come to come because it stirs people to act in different ways. So as we look towards what I mentioned earlier to a couple, I think today is, we're going to commemorate today, and we may not make a habit of this because I don't make a habit of this, even though I think about it on occasion. Today we're commemorate this morning what I think is probably the second most important day in Christian history. Now, I know what you guys are thinking. You guys are thinking that's Christmas, right? Because the most important day is what? Easter, right? That's the most important day because Jesus' resurrection, his birth doesn't matter if he didn't resurrect, right? But I think today is the second most important thing that happened in Christian history, and I'm going to leave that for the moment. But you like that teaser? Yeah. So, you know, we're busy people. We got ball games going on. We've got, work. We got meetings. We've got, you know, shows. We've got parties. We've got all these things that we're busy people today. And it's easy to find excuses if you want an excuse. And sometimes there are reasons, right? And because we're just really busy. And I wonder, and I look at us today, and I think, was there ever a time that people were as busy as we are today? And then I wonder, well, we're kind of busy today, but, you know, 200 years ago, 100 years ago, people were busy because they were just struggling to survive a lot of the times, you know, because when everything was so manual and you had to wash your clothes manually and you had to, you know, make your clothes manually and, you know, I think of the simplicity of making a sandwich. I don't know if you guys ever think about this, but, you know, we go and we make a sandwich and we say, oh, I'll just throw a sandwich together real quick, right? You ever sit down and think about what it would have been like before there was sliced bread? Before there was bread in a package even, when you had to grind your own wheat and make your own bread, and then we put meat on it and we put cheese and all those things, how time-consuming it would be to just make a sandwich 200 years ago? You know, does anybody else think about it, or am I just kind of weird that way? I sit and I think about those kind of things sometimes and how simple we have it. But then again, our technology that's made life so easy in so many ways has also caused us to be very busy, right? So when we're sitting and watching TV or we're looking at our phones and our mind's busy and we don't have that time to sometimes just relax and maybe pray as much as we should or communicate with God on the porch, or wherever it's at. You know, so our minds sometimes may be busy even if our body isn't, or we're being busy on different things than they used to be. But regardless of how busy we've been in the past or now, it's that big event that usually draws people's attention. And today is 50 days from Easter. Well, I guess we're technically 49 days from Easter, so tomorrow will be 50 days from Easter, right? If my math is right, with 7 days a week and 7 weeks from it, so that'd be 49. And tomorrow will be 50 days. So we're going to commemorate today for tomorrow, if you will. And we're going to read here Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. If everybody will stand as we read. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." Let's have a word of prayer before we go on. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do, again, thank you for this day. We think we're going to come to your house. And Lord, we do thank you for what we're going to study this morning about the giving of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And this day that you just set that place on fire with the Holy Spirit coming on them. And Lord, I just pray that you would just open our hearts and minds to your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can be seated. So we see that the place was on fire, in a sense, right? The wind came down and the Holy Spirit come to each one of them as tongues of fire represented on each of them. You know, like I say, Easter is the most important Christian event, but I think that this is probably the second most important event that we don't celebrate as a holiday, and we don't even talk about it much, right, in the church. And I was thinking about this, and, you know, you can think about when you got saved, and when someone gets saved, and they're all excited, what do we say? Man, they're on fire for the Lord, right? But that's because when we get saved today, we get the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in us, and when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit. At this time, they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. Jesus had ascended. He said, "Hey, wait, I'm going to send the Comforter to you." And this is when they received the Holy Spirit. So I'm picturing this as everybody that's there together, they all received the Holy Spirit at the same time, so it's like they all got saved at the same time, and they're all on fire for the Lord all at the same time. The same way that you, if you're a believer this morning, had that feeling, you know what I'm talking about, where you just were, you couldn't hardly contain yourself because you were on fire because of the newness of it, which we'll talk more about later, and you just were on fire, and all of that was happening to them right here. You know, and like I say, even though we may not celebrate this or commemorate it even every year, I think we need to recognize this day of being an important day. You know, this happened 50 days after the resurrection, but 10 days after the ascension, that when Christ ascended and gave them all the Great Commission, right? And told them that they need to go out and witness. He said, but don't leave the city until the Comforter comes to you. And this is what he was talking about. And this is when that was fulfilled 10 days later. So the disciples, because he had told them not to leave the city, they were all there waiting on his promise. You know, and I don't want to go too far into that, but sometimes whenever we're praying and we get direction, sometimes we have to wait. And I'm thinking that 10 days, during that time, that was probably a long 10 days, you know, when we're waiting to see what does he have in store for us next. And they were waiting, and the Holy Spirit was promised to them. And we have some scripture here with the Holy Spirit being promised. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Luke 24:49. And then in Acts 1:8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So he had made that, he had stated it, and they were sitting there waiting on that. Because Jesus, like I said, had told them they were going to receive this supernatural power. And we don't think about that a whole lot. We don't think about the supernatural power, but the Holy Spirit is a supernatural power. Amen? And if that's resided in us, then God is opening doors for us through faith because we have the Holy Spirit. And that supernatural power is, in part, we can commune to him, right? We can talk to him directly as we pray. We can hear him and he can hear us. And now I'm not saying that I get an audible voice, you know, every time that I pray, but I get nudged and I get guided. And hopefully you guys can say the same thing, that you get the direction of the Holy Spirit when you pray. And that, you know, we don't think about that as supernatural power, But it's a supernatural power. Amen. The rest of the world, the people that are not saved, they don't have that. You know, and it's easy to look back at the disciples, and it's easy to say, you know, they had all this, you know, they had all these things going on because they were just extra special. And I look at Paul, and I maybe, you know, I've not had the moment on the Damascus Road that Paul's had, where I've been blinded and then got my sight back. But we're in the same situation as Paul. He came to know the Lord after the ascension, after the Holy Spirit was put here, right? And he comes saved, and he received the Holy Spirit, and all the things that Paul did in God's guidance, I believe that we're in the same ability that Paul was. Because we are in the same church age after the ascension as Paul was. So when we look at the Bible and we say, well, that was something that happened in Bible times, why is it something that happened in Bible times and not today? You know, they were all there. They were waiting. They were praying. They were being obedient. And I believe if we do the same, we'll see God move and the place will be on fire. Amen. If we have the same direction or the same dedication that they had. All believers, as I said already, have the Holy Spirit. And we have scriptures here supporting that. Galatians 4:6 says, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Galatians 4:6. And Ephesians 1:13-14 says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who God's possession to the praise of his glory. So like I said, why do we look at them and say they were different than us? You know, they were different in many ways. Unfortunately, I think I named some of them. You know, they're different because sometimes they responded better than I do, right, to what the Lord tells them to. They responded better than I do because they responded. They believed what he said immediately. They was obedient. They spent time with Christ. They devoted to his teachings and his works. You know, they gave what they knew, and they made great personal sacrifices because of what Christ called them to do. And they did it many times at great personal risk or great suffering, if you will, because of what Christ had called them to do and their obedience. But I look at this, and many times whenever I've, you know, studied the Bible when I was young, and I get a picture in my head, and then I go back and I study it now, some things change for me about the setting, for example. So now if you disagree with me on where this happened, that's fine. That's not really the point of this morning, so I don't want to get hung up on where this happened. But as I study this and as I've learned more about the Pentecost, one of the things when they're celebrating the Pentecost is they had an all-night study of the Word. So it seems like this might have happened during that time. And they, it says in the house, right, this sound came up and moved in the house as they seen the tongues of the fire rest on each. But I think they were in the temple because the word house and temple can be interchangeable in the ancient text here. So I think they were in the temple, and they were all gathered in one place in the temple. And it says the wind or the spirit, which is also an interchangeable word as we translate it in the Greek and in the Hebrew on both of these words. So had come in, and the spirit came. It caused probably a wind. And they all were there, and this all happened. And that's why you're going to see as we read the next text here that everyone heard this, and they come flocking to that because the temple grounds was huge. And if they were in one section of the temple, I could see this happening. Now, if they were in the house down the street, I think it's, like I said, it's a little immaterial to the point we're getting to this morning. But the next Acts here, 2, 5-13 says, "Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? And then how is it that each of us hears him in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine." So like I said, there was a lot of people in town, and all these people were in town because they were celebrating the Shavuot, which is the Jewish holiday, interestingly enough, that celebrates the Torah coming by Moses on Mount Sinai. So when the law was given, the Ten Commandments was given, that's what they're celebrating at this time. And I say interesting enough because in the Jewish tradition, that's whenever the marriage covenant between Israel and God started. That's whenever the way that they had believed up to that time radically changed, because now they had the law. Y'all seeing the connection here? You know, when the Holy Spirit came on the Christians, it was a radical change. And it happened on a Jewish holiday, Shavuot. So this all happened at that same time, you know, and they were celebrating, like I said, the biggest change then, and now they're seeing it. And this all happened, you know, 50 days after they had been delivered from the bondage of Egypt was the receiving of the Torah. 50 days after the bondage being freed from sin for us was the same thing, the receiving of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that's coincidental. I think that is fulfillment of the picture that he was given in the Old Testament to the way things are happening in the New Testament. And you know, they was freed from the bondage of Egypt and slavery the same way that we're freed from the bondage of sin through Christ. Acts chapter 2, hold on, never mind, I'm not ready for that next slide yet. I was getting out of my notes here. So all these Jews, all these proselytes, they hear him, and they come running to him, and they all hear him speaking in tongues, which contextually here means that they're all hearing him in their same language. So, you know, there may be different meanings elsewhere that we can talk about another time, but contextually here, it means that they were all hearing in the same language. So if they were speaking whatever, all those different places that we named, those were their home languages, and these folks were speaking probably Greek at the time, maybe Aramaic, and all those other people heard it from where they were from in their own language. Now, I think that's important, and the reason I think that's why, I probably wouldn't have thought this is important. I've been struggling to try to learn Spanish, and, you know, and I say struggling because if you've ever been associated or tried to learn another language, you'll learn that there's never a real good translation. Like, you can translate something, but not everything is completely direct. You all know what I'm talking about? You know, and I won't give you any examples, but, you know, and what little Spanish I know, but I'll give you this example. I had a lady that I know from India, and we communicated a lot, and one day I realized that we were both speaking English, but we weren't speaking the same language. And I asked her, I said, "Hey, that part about the hood on the car," I'm sorry, I didn't say hood. I said, "That part of the car that covers the engine, what do you call that?" And she said, "Oh, the bonnet." And I said, yes, that's what I thought. So she was speaking English, and I was speaking American. Amen? You know, she was speaking the British-based English. And even inside English, it's not the same. And you know that if you've traveled the country and talked to people in different regions here. We have different languages. So even if they were hearing it in a similar language, they were hearing it in their home language, which means we understand it the best. So the Holy Spirit was taking this language and making people hear it where they could most clearly understand the message that was coming through. And I think that's important because there was no confusion in this. He was translated into their own language, and they were hearing the praises of God and what was going on in their based most familiar language. But they heard all this, and they said, all these people are going on. They've had too much wine to drink. They've had too much wine. Now, I think I'm going to say, yeah, they had too much wine, and then I'm going to go on with that and tell you why they didn't have wine. But they said they had too much wine. Over in Mark chapter 2, 22, it says, and no one pours new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the new wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. Now, what that means is when you pour the grape juice into the wineskin and it ferments through the natural process of the yeast being there, digests those sugars, and it produces some alcohol content, it expands because that's what it does. Okay, that's just why it does it, right? So it expands. So once you have put that in there and that has expanded and you dump it out and you serve it or whatever, if you go and get new wine, new grape juice, and you put back in there, does it have any room to expand? No, it's already stretched. So now it's going to burst, and that's why you don't practically put new wine into old wineskins. Now, they've had new wine from the Spirit. They have the Holy Spirit. They have a new teaching, a new wine, and it means that they can't be in the confinements of the old law because now they have a new teaching. They have the Holy Spirit. If they're confined in the traditions and the teachings only, they're going to burst because they have something new. And we as believers have something new, and for us, we can't keep the new thing we have in our old lifestyle. We have to leave that because it's going to burst out. Now, I may be spiritualizing this a little bit, but forgive me. It's going to burst out whenever we have the Holy Spirit. That should burst out in our life. We can't put that in the old one. We got to have the new skin, if you will. Now, I will also say here that with all of that, the disciples never did forsake the law. They kept the commandments. They kept those things. We never see, and even Jesus says, I didn't come here to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. So I'm not saying this wasn't a license to, hey, now we can do whatever we want because we're free from the law. No, they're free from the confinements of the law. They're free to do more than what they were able to do before. Now, I might have got excited and went ahead of my notes. All right. So Peter stands up, though, and he says to him, he stands up with the 11 and he says, no, they're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock. So that's what he's saying. He gets to that point where he's saying they're not drunk because it's only 9 o'clock. Because that's what they meant when they said they've had too much wine. Now, the reason that's important is because during the Shavuot, they were supposed to be fasting, and they'd be fasting until at least 10 o'clock in the morning. So he's saying, no, they haven't broke their fast. They've not had any wine. They're not drunk, from wine. Something else is happening here. And then he starts in what is probably his greatest recorded sermon that we have, and that's Acts chapter 2, 17 through 22. It's just a piece of it. And it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So Peter proclaims here that we're in the last days, essentially. He's saying this is the beginning of the last days. And we don't have time this morning to talk about the church age or anything. Maybe someday we'll have that in Bible study. But this is the beginning of the church age. And he's proclaiming this 2,000 years ago, right, or almost 2,000 years ago. So we're that much closer today. Amen? We may be that much farther away, but we're at least that much closer. And I don't know, you know, if the Lord's going to tarry and be another couple thousand years, or if he's going to be a couple decades, or if he's going to come tomorrow. But I do know that I'm going to probably meet him before another couple thousand years is over. Amen? I mean, I don't think I'm going to make it another couple thousand. The first 46 have been pretty hard on me at this point. So, you know, but that's the importance of looking at this, and he's telling them, you know, something new has come. You're here to celebrate the Torah. You're here to celebrate the law coming upon the Jews and looking toward the salvation for the law, but something new has come. You're witnessing the coming of the Holy Spirit because Christ, and he goes on elsewhere to say, the Christ that you crucified, talking to the people that would have been there, because this is one of the feast days that they had to be there. All the adult men had to be there by their law. So he's saying the Christ that you crucified died and was resurrected and ascended, and this is the result, is the Holy Spirit has come, and he offers that up to them right there. And we see that there was like 5,000 that got saved that day. You know, because the church was on fire. Amen? You know, and if we're on fire, there's nothing that, let me just say it this way. If we're on fire, everybody will come running to the fire. And I believe we are, and I believe that momentum gets us going, right? And if you're here this morning and you can't say, hey, I'm on fire for the Lord, then let's talk about it. Amen? Let's talk about what it means to be on fire. If you've not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and you don't know that, we need to talk about that this morning. That scripture on the very last says, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, the Bible says if we confess, if we believe in our hearts, and we confess with our mouths, we will be saved. There is no limitation. If the Holy Spirit is convicting you this morning or talking to you this morning and saying, hey, you don't know me, I want a relationship with you, I'm going to ask the song leader to come this morning. And if you feel like the Lord's speaking to you this morning and you can't say, hey, I know that if the Lord comes back tomorrow, if you can't say, you know, if I died tomorrow, that I know that I will be with him, I'm going to ask you to come up and we'll pray about that this morning. I've got a couple coming also to pray with you if there's something that you want to pray with them about. And I'm going to leave you with these questions. Do you know him as your Savior? Have you called on his name? And are you on fire? If you can't say yes to those things, let's talk about it this morning. What number are we singing? 342. Everybody stand.
This cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure. Thou must save. alone. In my hand, no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure. Save the life and make me pure.
You know, the last boy I baptized was on his way to college, and the Holy Spirit convicted him while he was listening to his radio, and he pulled over, and he prayed for salvation right there. And now, you know, we got the invitation open here, and it goes on wherever the Holy Spirit convicts you. So I'm not saying you got to be here at this place at this time, but I do know that you got to be invited. And if the Holy Spirit's talking to you this morning, I just pull over right where you're at. Don't delay it. Come up and we'll pray about it. So as we sing another verse or two here, just to encourage you, don't delay if he's speaking to you.
Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyes shall close in death, when
I did my public service announcement this morning. I did leave one thing out. We had a really good turnout yesterday over in the Green Forest Estates or whatever, Tanner Park, wherever we know it as. We had a really good turnout with folks out there and the community. You know, there was some participation there, and there was, I think, a good foundation laid. And, you know, make sure we're praying for that community in the coming months. They're planning to go back and do something else over there with that community. So be in prayer for that. And they're looking, you know, First Baptist of Green Forest is looking for someone to come and be their Hispanic minister is the way I took it, to kind of branch out in the way they're looking to minister to their community. So be in prayer for them and that work as it's going on and what involvement that we need to have to assist them going forward. But we saw you know, the Holy Spirit moving there yesterday within that community for sure, I believe. So I just didn't want to let that out. I appreciate everybody that showed up. And helped, and you know, I had volunteered to roast hot dogs because I thought, well, they need a need, and I can grill hot dogs, and I threw it out, and I didn't do anything yesterday but sit around and visit with people, and I did a little bit, I guess, you know, but I never grilled a hot dog, you know, because we had people come, and I just want to thank you all for the participation and coming there to support that, and I'm sure Bear Creek I know they did because their pastor told me they appreciated it, and it was a big deal to everybody, and hopefully you all were blessed from the time we spent together yesterday. Tonight we're having house church, and that'll be 6 o'clock. If you're not plugged into one of those, talk to us. We'll find you a place to go. There's one here at the church if you don't know anything else and last minute you decide, hey, I want to be a part. Max teaches one here at the church, so you can always come here at 6 o'clock and be a part of that one. And other than that, do I have any other announcements that we're missing? What about Wednesday night? What's going on Wednesday night? All right, so camp meeting Wednesday night, or okay. Okay. All right, and I've seen Jordan's sword that he's got. So, you know, he had a little bit of, hey, come, or there's going to be consequences. He brought a sword last week, so anyway, I'll just leave that where it's at. So with that, we'll close this morning. Brent, would you dismiss the word prayer?
Join me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and being in your house. And I pray that you be with us as we go. I pray that we would share your love and your word and your message as we go throughout our week and throughout our day. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.